The Jurgen's Journal, featuring Walter Winchell. Mr. Winchell, whose famous column appears in the Los Angeles Herald Express and other newspapers with more than 25 million readers, is brought to you by Jurgen's, the lotion for soft, smooth, romantic hands. And now to the editorial room of the Jurgen's Journal and Walter Winchell.
Good evening, Mr. Mr. North and South America, by shortwave overseas. Let's go to press. Flash. Guam. The fall of Naha, Okinawa's capital, may come in the next few hours. Our Marines are banging toward the heart of that capital right now. Paris. Supreme Headquarters declares that it has no confirmation of the reports that Heinrich Himmler, rat number two, is under arrest. Not confirmed. Moscow. More than 1 million Germans, including nearly 100 generals, have been captured by the Russians since last Tuesday. Portland, Oregon. The story behind the killing of several children and others in Oregon recently when they touched a mysterious and strange object must remain a military secret until after the war with Japan. San Francisco. The charter at the security conference will be ratified by all. But the unfinished business, that means the Poland matter, will be settled by President Truman, Stalin, and Churchill alone somewhere overseas. Washington. The newspaper headlines will shortly reveal an unhappy flash concerning one of the greatest and the bravest admirals. Behind the international front. Exclusive. Paris. Highly informed sources believe that this is the lowdown on the missing Polish diplomats. The Poles were arrested without Moscow's knowledge by the Russian generals. Moscow, deeply embarrassed, had no option but to brazen it out. Of the deepest political significance is the fact that Joseph Stalin does not have full control of the Russian generals. The arrest of the 16 Poles is regarded in London and in Washington diplomatic circles as the most disgraceful incident since Adolf Hitler took power with the Gestapo. Lisbon. Nothing but its appease of friends in the United Nations capitals can forestall the collapse of the Franco government. Only lack of arms prevents another Spanish civil war. Manila. The proclamation of President Truman indicating that unconditional surrender will save Japan from annihilation has had a profound effect on Japanese industrialists. Instead of dying by inches, Japan may crack wide open. Militarily, Japan is even more hopelessly defeated than Hitler was on D-Day. Rome. Exclusive. The reported and purported territorial aims of Great Britain in the Mediterranean are pure bunk. This reporter categorically states now that the Italian armistice terms grant no territory to anyone. Your reporter further states that at the time FDR declared the Atlantic Charter applied to Italy, Mr. Churchill told Roosevelt that Great Britain had no intention of acquiring additional colonies. New York City. Dr. Juan Negrin, the Prime Minister of the last Republican government of Spain, has arrived in New York from London. He is en route to San Francisco. He is here to unite all Spanish groups. Dr. Negrin has been trying to get to America for many, many years. Ladies and gentlemen, Life magazine, the sister of Time magazine, with which your reporter is now at war, carelessly reports that I stated President Truman was flying to meet Stalin and Churchill. Life magazine also claims that I so stated it a week ago. I never did that. I said, among other rumors, was that our president might be persuaded to fly there to assure success of the conference at San Francisco. Yesterday, the United Press reported that President Truman might do that. In short, the Winchell luck came through again. The Washington Express. President Truman is hand in glove with the Senate, with both mitts on the wheel. The changes in Washington, D.C. will be gradual but certain, especially at the State Department. Washington thinks that Stassen and Saltonstall, or Stassen and Lodge, or Warren and Stassen, will be the 1948 Republican ticket for the presidency. That means the Weisenheimers are betting Stassen across the board. Washington. A terrific auditing and probe of Lend-Lease is due very soon. Washington. Naval Lieutenant James Rowe, the former assistant to Roosevelt, quit his post with United States Attorney General Biddle to enlist in the Navy. Lieutenant Rowe was recently cited for bravery. The citation is a thriller. Risking his life to help save his ship by putting out a blaze in that part of the ship where ammunition was exploding after attack. Terrible casualties. Lieutenant Jim Rowe now wears the commendation ribbon. Washington. Mr. Justice Robert H. Jackson will not quit the high court bench while prosecuting war criminals. New York. The number one political choice to date for New York mayor is Justice Ferdinand Pecora. Second is Mr. Cashmore of Brooklyn. Many voters, however, would root for O'Dwyer, LaGuardia, or McGoldrick. But Eleanor Roosevelt can have the Democratic, the Liberal, and the Labor vote if she wants it. Attention, Mr. and Mrs. United States. Please forgive me for boring many of you with this. But I have already pledged all of you that I would try to keep you informed. Some critics, however, would have you believe that Walter Winchell relies on rumor and bum steers instead of news. Time and Life magazines are currently belittling my efforts at San Francisco. Time magazine last week, for instance, blasted some of us after reprinting much of an indignant complaint by Peter Edson. Who is Peter Edson? Well, Mr. Edson writes for the Scripps Howard newspapers. Mr. Edson wrote that show-offs and expert amateurs at the conference were, quotes, disgracing the respected members of the press who get their news straight, not wrong. He means such as Mr. Edson, I suppose. This is the very same Peter Edson, ladies and gentlemen, who on Tuesday last scooped us all by reporting that Woodrow Wilson's daughter had told him exclusively that President Wilson died believing the United States was right by staying out of the League of Nations. Mr. Edson's story was played up very big by the New York World Telegram, his home paper in New York, the New York Mirror, and many other papers. That was last Tuesday. Next day, all concerned had to carry the denial by Mrs. Woodrow Wilson. Time magazine, in my opinion, ought to be more fussy about from where it reprints its alleged news. A reporter's report to the nation, with the help of my radio colleague for 14 years, Ben Grauer.
Walter, the publishers and editors of Rediscope magazine each year honor an American in public life who, in their opinion, has made the outstanding contribution to the fight against Native American fascists. This year, the honor goes to you. And here's an excerpt from the plaque by sculptor John Begg, which is presented to you, and I quote, "To Walter Winchell, refusing to recognize any interest except the fundamental interest of preserving democracy in America, Walter Winchell has never given ground, never hesitated to denounce, to attack, to scourge the fascist enemies of America. We therefore feel proud to make this award and to present to Walter Winchell a check for $5,000, confident that he will select a member of the armed forces who, as an outstanding fighter against fascism on the war front, reflects America's determination to crush fascism everywhere." That's the end of the quote, and now, Walter, I'd just like to add my own personal congratulations to you on being chosen for that award. I don't think anyone knows better than I what courage it's taken to carry on the fight.
Thank you very much, Ben. To the editors, the publishers, and the staff of Rediscope magazine, thank you, gentlemen, for being chosen as a symbol in the fight. But I think it is clear to everyone the world over that the real symbol against fascism is our own glorious country. Each of us, lucky enough to be part of these United States, is proud of its struggle in the fight for human rights, decency, and justice. You asked me to select an outstanding American fighter on the war front and give him this $5,000 check for his heroic efforts. Who can say which of our servicemen has done the most? Who? Each is doing his full share. Many thousands have given their lives. No, I cannot select any one person. And so I herewith give the $5,000 cash award from Reader's Scope magazine to the Army Emergency Relief Fund, the Navy Relief Society, and the Coast Guard Welfare Fund. Navy Relief, as you know, includes our wonderful Marines, too. A soldier, a sailor, and a Marine are here with me now at the microphone. Gentlemen, here it is, $5,000. Thank you, Reader Scope, in behalf of all American servicemen. Manila, the big Del Monte Air Base in northern Mindanao, was captured tonight by the American 40th Division. Moscow, Izvestia, Moscow's official organ, wants to know why Goering hasn't been hanged as a gangster. Well, that's a fair enough $64 question, Mr. and Mrs. Moscow. Hitler always did say that we Americans are softies. Attention, Congressman Hollis of Washington, D.C. Mr. Congressman, here is another of those irritating stories about Nazi prisoners of war over here. A citizen of Lawrence, Kansas, just telegraphed me as follows. The May 13th Tabor column in the Topeka, Kansas Daily Capital stated as follows, quote, at Concordia, Kansas, where 2,500 German officers are concentrated, the United States Army caters to the Nazis as though they were kings. They get more food than our soldiers get. Ponies, radios, luxuries, and all sorts of leniency beyond imagination. They even celebrated Hitler's birthday at this camp, the worst managed in the country. The punishment for the prisoners of war was the loss of one can of beef. End quotes. How much more? And now to beat the red hand around the clock. A report to President Truman. My dear Mr. President, in response to your appeal that today be observed as a day of prayer, I learned from many sources that churches all over the nation were crowded to capacity. Private First Class Irwin Hoffman of Nanjamoy, Maryland. Thank you very much, soldier. Herman called me Maya Gehring, in my opinion, should be shot with bullets made from his phony medals. Attention, New Yorkers and Washington. Don't miss tomorrow's edition of PM, the New York newspaper. PM. I said newspaper. It prints the news accurately. It has the inside story tomorrow in PM of a free-for-all fight between some of us over a British general I exposed over the Blue Network last March. Goodbye, General Fuller.
Ta-ta!
Miss Kathleen Fisher, two teeth old of Los Angeles. Mr. Daryl Zanuck's version of A Bell for Adano opens at the Music Hall in July. What a timely break for 20th Century Fox. John Hershey's great novel just won the Pulitzer Prize, and Mr. Zanuck timed it on the schnozola. Mrs. Sam Hoffman of New York City. I did not see Common Ground, but the Brooklyn Eagle critic, Mr. Arthur Pollock, and some others have already testified to what a very fine play it is. Go see Common Ground, ladies and gentlemen, in New York. It fights the very same enemies we fight. Mrs. Nat Goldstone of Beverly Hills. Former Hollywood star Tony Martin has been commended by Brigadier General William H. Tunner of the India-Burma Air Transport Command. Tony Martin, if you recall, is the boy who mysteriously flunked his OCS exams at Miami Beach under very peculiar circumstances. John McInerney of Pittsburgh. I agree with you, sir. The most amusing story of the week was the one which told about Herman, you may call me Maya, Gehring, being in a cell, and how he is being guarded by a soldier, an American soldier, whose name is Jerome Shapiro. Mr. Shapiro, sock 'em one for all Americans. And that, ladies and gentlemen, winds up another Jurgens Journal until next Sunday night at the very same time. Until then, and with lotions of love, I remain your New York correspondent, Walter Winchell, who is sure that the Security Conference will be a success at the Golden Gate if the delegates remember the Gold Star Mothers. Good night.
Good night, Walter. The makers of Jergens Lotion join in solemn thanksgiving for the victory of our forces in Europe. But we full well know the war is not over. America is deeply pledged to victory in the Pacific. And until Japan surrenders unconditionally, we realize our country is still at war. Next week, another edition of the Jergens Journal with Walter Winchell. And now be sure to remain tuned to the Woodbury Double Feature Program with Luella Parsons and Hollywood Mystery Time, which follows immediately. This is Ben Grauer speaking from Hollywood.
This is the Blue Network of the American Broadcasting Company.